I bring greetings to you this morning in Jesus' name. I'd like to welcome each one to the service as well. Trust as we turn our hearts upward that God will fill our cups and that we will together be blessed. And that the Holy Spirit will minister to the needs that we have in our lives this morning. I believe that we all recognize that we are needy people. And without Jesus, we can do nothing, as he said in John 15. Titled the message this morning, the subject I've been thinking about for some time is job versus work. The first scripture I'd like to look at is in St. John chapter 4, verse 30. We'll start reading there then, but a little bit more about the title while returning to that. When we talk about a job, we pretty much know what we're talking about, or we talk about I'm going to go to work. And when we use the term in that way, when we're talking about going to work, I want to put that in the category of our job. Versus the work that I'm talking about, I want to talk about our life work or our purpose, the real reason as to why we are here. And I think that has a lot to do with our priorities. And when we look at our priorities the way as Christians we should have our priorities stacked up, I think our first priority should be to God, our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And, that we are anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, that we get our direction from God, that when we read the Word of God, that we can understand the Word of God because the Holy Spirit is ministering to us and is discerning the Word of God, as the Bible says that the Word of God is not discerned by the natural man, but that we must have the Spirit of God to discern the Word of God for us. And then also, as we have the Holy Spirit, we will also be open to hearing from our fellow believers in the church and elsewhere, ministering to us and speaking into our lives, and will enable us to fulfill the purpose that I believe is God's purpose, primary purpose maybe for us as believers, is to empower one another like Jesus did his disciples, to speak life into our fellow believers so that they could be furthered in their walk with God, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Secondly, in our priority after a relationship with God would come our relationship to our family, our spouse and children, etc. And thirdly would be our relationship with the church, the local body of believers. And then, possibly finally after that, would be our relationship to our work, our job, if you will. We know that we have need of these things. Jesus said that. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these earthly things, but it's not the primary thing. And I had to think of the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Did I say that right? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was careful and troubled about many things, Jesus said. She was cumbered about the serving, which was also necessary because we have to eat, but it's not the primary thing. And that's what I like to talk about today. We look at job versus work. Where do we fit that in? Sometimes we feel like there's just not enough of us to go around. And we have the need of making money to supply the physical needs that we have. And yet God has a call on our lives. God has a purpose for us as believers. And I believe we need to believe that with all of our heart. So where do we fit the two together in our lives? What does God say? What does God want us to do? And first of all, I'd like to look at some of the words of Jesus out of the book of John in chapter 4 of the book of John, St. John. Here we have the story of how Jesus came to the woman at the well in Samaria. And in verse 30 it says, Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And then in the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So we see the priority that Jesus had. You know, even above the need of food was to do the will of his heavenly Father. You know, I don't see how Jesus did it, to go out in the wilderness and to fast for 40 days, 40 nights. I'm not sure if I could handle that. But Jesus did. And obviously, he had his priorities right. And I had to think of the words of Job, where he said that the words, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How is that? When we esteem the words of the mouth of God, and in our day, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as believers, and God wants us to tune in and to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. A song that we sang, My sheep hear my voice. And Jesus talks about that in John 10 as well. Or that's where that song is based on, of us hearing our shepherd, Jesus Christ, speaking to us. And he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit to hear the voice of God and to esteem that greater and more necessary than the food that we eat. You know, does that mean sometimes fasting, maybe, in order to come into communion with God? Maybe so. More necessary than even the food that we eat. Jesus went on and he said, you know, don't you say there are still 4 months until it's harvest time? You know, we're here in a situation now where it's only just, you know, shortly here, the wheat will be ready to harvest. He says, don't you say it's still 4 months to harvest? But he said, I say unto you, look out there and see. He said, the fields are already white unto harvest. And he's talking about a different kind of harvest. He's not talking about our job. He's talking about a life work. And that's what it's all about. Sometimes when we go to our job, God puts situations in front of us. God brings people into our lives that God wants us to minister to. And God wants us to take time out of our busy schedules and sit down and have church, if you will, with an individual. You know, speak life into them. Encourage them. Bless them. You know, and we need direction and openness to God, to the Holy Spirit, to know when that time is. You know, when is the time to do that, and when is the time to not make time for that? Because we don't know what's going on in the other person's life, but God does. I was blessed here a week or so ago. There was a man that I've known for quite some time now, 25 years or so, and he came into the shop the other day, and he does, because of the relationship that we have built over the years, when he used to, when I worked at the front counter, it was almost like I dreaded to see him come in. But over the years, God has done a work in his life, and God has brought about a change in his life, and God has turned his heart towards himself. And when he came in the other day, he was struggling with some things, and he came back and we just sat down and we talked for probably 45 minutes. And I don't know, I think I've probably felt more blessed than he did and encouraged, but it was just really a blessing to talk, and I trust that he was blessed and encouraged as well in his walk and his focus being turned towards God. But I believe that was a way that God wanted me to take time out from my job to do my work, the life work that God has for me in life. And we see here when Jesus continued in the work that he did, it says when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, I think, and when he stopped there, he stayed there for 2 days, took time out of his job, if you will, to do the work that God had for him, the life work, which was that every man, every person should believe on Jesus Christ. And it says, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that was the work that God had for the Apostle Paul, to go out into the Gentiles and to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, as Paul said, that through Jesus we find salvation. And it is only through him that we find salvation. Next, I'd like to look at the next chapter here in John chapter 5. Jesus said in verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I think of the time when Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane just before his crucifixion. And Jesus prayed that prayer, and it says that he sweated great drops of sweat, as it were, of blood. And some people say he actually sweated blood, and that is physically possible. I'm not sure, but it's very possible so, of the agony that he was in, of taking upon himself the sin of the whole world, including yours and mine. And he prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Let this cup pass from me, if it's possible. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I like the words of Jesus where he says, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I'm not sure where that's found. Maybe in John 17 in the high priestly prayer. I have finished the work. And the words of Jesus on the cross where he said, it is finished. The work is now done. Everything, you know, when God told Noah to build the ark, to build that boat, it says everything that God commanded him to do, Noah did. And that's the way it was with Jesus Christ. Everything that God commanded him to do, that purpose that God had for him, he did it perfectly. He didn't make any mistakes. And I know when I look back at my life, I have made mistakes where I haven't fulfilled the purpose that God had for me. And I'm sure I'll probably make more mistakes. But God is gracious, and that's where grace comes in. You know, there have been times when I put my job ahead of work, where I put making money ahead of relationships. But the life work that God has for us, we put relationships ahead of making money. We put relationship ahead of our job. We put Jesus Christ ahead of making money, ahead of our job. To do the will of our Father, whatever that is. He says in verse 31, he goes on, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye send unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So Jesus is saying the very things that I'm going to do, the works that I'm going to do, the life work, how I live my life, is going to bear witness of me that I actually was sent of God. And I trust that that same thing will happen for us as we walk in the Spirit, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, and as we do the purpose, the work that God has for us, the life work that God has for us, that God is glorified and that people will be able to see Jesus in our lives. And I believe that is part of the purpose of our lives as believers, is that others looking at us may know that this is not something that is coming from a human being. This is coming from a source that is coming from outside, within, that is placed within us. The power that is coming from within us is a source that is coming from outside of this body, from the Heavenly Father, and being put within us. As the verse says, we love Him because He first loved us. It is not something that we can do of ourselves. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You know, the branch laying there by itself is going to wither and die. But a branch that is attached to the vine will bring forth, abiding in the vine will bring forth much fruit, and the Father is glorified. The will of the Father. Okay, now let's jump over to chapter 6 in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves when were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And that reminds me of the devotional. I appreciate the devotional. I think that ties in very well with the message, thinking of taking up our cross. And here he is saying, you know, don't labor, don't work for the meat, the things that perish, the things that are temporal, but work for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. See, how did Jim Elliot say that? He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Thank you. Giving that which you cannot keep. All these things that we work so hard for, money, houses, lands, vehicles, and, you know, we need food, clothing, and shelter. But when we labor so hard for that and we put that job ahead of the life work that God has for us, what does that testify to? I believe it testifies to doubt, mistrust, not trusting our Heavenly Father. You know, when we put God ahead of anything else, it speaks of trust, of faith. And I believe that is why Jesus' life was so, or speaks so loudly and continues to speak so loudly, is because he believed, he had faith, he trusted. And I had to think of George Mueller. Many of you know that story of the orphanage. You know, and sometimes there were times that it was breakfast time and there was no food. And they would pray and they would ask God. And here there was a knock at the door. And here was breakfast, here was food. And God was glorified. And we had a conversation about that at a reunion, and there was some talk about the book Through the Eye of a Needle, I think. Through a Needle's Eye or Through the Eye of a Needle. And that book is stressing about, I guess, kind of making a sin out of accumulation. Well, I tend to disagree with that, because I think God looks on the heart. You know, when you look at a man like George Mueller that lived with the mentality that first need, first serve, you know, if you have money and there's a need, you give that money even though the money may have been intended by you to fill another need that was coming later. But there was another need that somebody had and you gave that money and now you depended on God to supply this next need. Well, how was God going to supply that next need? I like to think that the person who has his heart right with God and has accumulated, and then God says, speaking through the Holy Spirit, he says, you know what? George over here needs some of your money. And that person listens to God and he gives him the amount that George needs through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, so was that a sin for that man to accumulate? No, absolutely not. Where it becomes sin is when we set our heart on it and we put our trust in that. And that comes to 1 Timothy 6. You read that scripture. The love of money is the root of all evil. And if I can quote that, it says that, you know, which some, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he goes on later in the chapter, he says, you know, charge those that are rich in this world that they trust not in uncertain riches, but that they trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, we see the sin of accumulation in the man of, in the parable that Jesus gave of the man whose crops did really good. And he said, I'm going to break off my barn. I'm going to build greater. I'm going to store these things up. I'm going to live a life of ease. I'm going to say to my soul, you know, take, eat, you know, sit back and relax and take it easy and have a good life. That's where the sin comes in. But if the man would have said, you know, God, I thank you for what you have given me. You know, would you like for me to give this out now? Or would you like to build my barns bigger and save it for your use later? You know, that would be the difference. A heart that is surrendered and submitted to whatever the will of God is. And when we go to our job tomorrow morning with that mentality, it makes all the difference in the world. Versus when we go with, you know, I've got to go to work because I've got to have this money so I can further my retirement fund and further my ease of life. You know, that new vehicle or that other farm I'd like to buy or whatever. Versus saying, as we go to work, God, this job, I thank you for this job, and I thank you for the income that this job provides, and for the food that you bless us with, the home you've given us, the farm you've given us, the family you've given us, the life, health, and strength that you've given us. I thank you for this privilege for going to this job, and I just give this income that you give to you. And whatever you want me to do with this, it's yours. I give it back to you. And just listen for the Holy Spirit to speak and to show us what he wants us to do with it. If he wants us to put it in savings, if he wants us to put it in retirement to be used later, so be it. Blessings, glory be to God. But if he wants us to give it the next day, then we do that. I think the important thing is that we are not critical one of another, but that we bless each other with the gifts that God has given us. There was a man once who was living in an era shortly after George Mueller, and he learned, you know, he looked at the life of George Mueller, and he learned from that, and he, in his journey and walking with God, he lived similar, except he didn't have an orphanage. He had, you know, other work that God had for him to do. But the thing that stands out to me in the book that was written about him by his friend after this man was deceased, his name was Reese Howells, and his friend Norman Grubb, I think was his name, wrote the book. And he says how that Reese was and his wife were supposed to go to London for a certain work that they were to do. And they had the money in hand, but he had the motto that first need, first served. So there was a need that came up, and he felt that God wanted him to give this most of this ticket money to this other need, so he did. And as they were getting ready to leave, they were at the train station, they were being bid farewell by their friends, family. Him and his wife knew that they only had enough money to buy a ticket over to the next village. They didn't have enough money to go to London. And they were like, you know, what do we do? But they didn't feel it was right for them to ask for money from their friends and family, but they were supposed to trust God. So they opted to do that. They bought the ticket over to the next village. And when they got there, they didn't have any money to go on to London. So Reese was asking God, you know, what am I supposed to do? And God, through the Spirit, told him, he asked him, do you believe that I'm going to supply your need for getting to London, your money to buy the train ticket? And Reese said, yes, I do. And then God said, well, get in line. So he got into line, and as the line was getting further forward, he was wondering, you know, what is God going to do? And as he gets further forward, he was about third in line at the window. A man in front of him says, well, I've got to go open my shop. And he turns around and he hands his ticket money to Reese. And so Reese took that money and bought the tickets for him and his wife, and they went to London. Now, is God telling all of us to live that way? Well, not necessarily. But if he is, then by all means live that way. You know, but if God is okay, if God is blessing you with money in a checking account, a savings account, retirement fund, or whatever, and you are giving all that to God, and you are subject to God, to the will of God, whatever he wants you to do with that money, then God bless you in that. We're going on and read here. Verse 28. The Jews then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, and I love this verse, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So Jesus is saying here that your work, our work, as believers is to believe on Jesus Christ. That is our work. That is our life work. And sometimes, you know, that is hard. Sometimes we're put in situations where we wonder, does God really know what he's doing? And we doubt. And we try to maybe make another way, but God says, believe. And the word believe, in my mind, is an action word. It is a word that has to do with doing. When you really believe something, you will act on it. And it talks about Abraham, how that faith wrought, or you could say worked, with his works. And through that, we see the life of Abraham, and it's been a blessing to us. As we read the life of Abraham as recorded in Scripture, it's been a blessing to us. They go on and they say, in verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We'll stop there. So we see the work of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was that everyone that sees Jesus, and when we look at that cross, it's just a couple pieces of wood unless we see the crucified Savior. That is what the cross means. The cross is an instrument of death. Death to self. Death to my will. And yes, life to the Father's will. Whatever that is in our lives. So that is an instrument of death, but it's only a religious symbol unless we see the crucified Savior and the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. In John 9, we have the account of how Jesus saw this blind man, and the question was asked, you know, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus answered, and he said, nobody has sinned that this man was born blind, neither this man or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So we see here that we only have a given window of time whereby we can do our life work. So it's imperative that we make the most of it, that we are in tune with God, that we are hearing from God, that we work the works while it is day. You know, we know that Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended, sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He is continuing his work. And the final culmination of his work is going to be when Jesus comes back and receives his bride. And he promised that he is coming. And one of these days, that will come to pass because he is faithful. Psalms 40, it is prophesied of Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Delight to do thy will. And another verse in Psalm 37:4, where it tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. You know, when we go through life and we have this mentality that I want to do the things that I want to do, and, you know, God has this call on my life, and we resent the call, we rebel against the call, we make ourselves miserable. Or when we somehow think that we can somehow please God by doing things, we make for a miserable existence. But when we believe, as Jesus said, our work is to believe on Jesus Christ. When we believe on Jesus and we delight ourselves in the Lord, we don't forget our... See, how does that psalmist says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. We don't forget about the joy and the love that we had when we were first converted and born again, and the peace and, you know, the freedom that we had. We don't forget that, but God renews that within us and restores that to us, and we want to do the will of the Father. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and it says he will give us the desires of our heart. And I think a lot of times it's not so much that God gives us the things that we want, but God changes our desires as we abide in him, as we become more like him, as we abide in the vine and we get our direction from him, we listen to the Holy Spirit and we worship. And we're in awe and we're in reverence of our Heavenly Father, of Jesus Christ. See, time is going on, but I want to look a little bit here in John chapter 21. We have the account here of after Jesus was crucified, and there was a period of time there where he was like in and out with the disciples. He would show himself and then he would disappear again, and then sometimes he would show himself again. But Peter, it's almost like he got a little frustrated with this thing. And, you know, I take it that Peter was really on board when he was, you know, walking with Jesus. Jesus was here on the earth. Jesus was fulfilling his ministry, his calling, what God had for him to do. And Peter now was saying, well, this whole thing just kind of blew over. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to my job. And they were out there fishing all night, totally unsuccessful, didn't catch a thing. And the next morning, they look out and they see Jesus standing on the shore, and the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. This is in John chapter 21. And Jesus called out to them, children, do you have any meat? And they said, no. And he said, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find. And they threw their net over there. I don't know what made them do that. They didn't know it was Jesus at that point yet. And it said they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And then John turns to Peter and he says, it's the Lord. The Lord is over there on the shore. And Peter put his fisher coat about him and he jumped out into the water and he went over to go to Jesus. And the other disciples came in the ship and dragging the net. And when they were come up to the shore, they saw there that Jesus had a fire going and he had fish on there and bread. Now, where he got that food, I'm not sure. Maybe he spoke to the stones that time and he had them turned into bread, which would have been right and good. And then he told them to bring of the fish that they had caught. And Peter went over and took some and drew the net to land. And there were 100, so it was great fish, it says, 153. And because even though there were so many, the net was not broken. And then Jesus served them. None of them was dared to ask him, "Who art thou?" Because they really knew that this was Jesus. But then afterwards, after they had eaten, Jesus turned to Simon Peter and he asked him the question. He said, "Do you love me more than these?" And I've wondered already who or what are the "these" that he's talking about. But today, I would like to look at that as Peter's job, those fish. You know, I don't know what the normal catch of fish would have been for a night's worth of work. In this case, they had fished all night and hadn't caught a thing. You know, maybe they had nights like that. And all of a sudden, they had 153 big fish, and I don't know how much money that would have meant. And so Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me more than your job, than these fish? Are you really going to forsake me and go back to your job? Or are you going to surrender to the life work that I have for you, the calling that I have on your life, the will that I have for your life?" And we know how he went on, and he asked him several more times. And Peter got pretty adamant about that and pretty distraught because, you know, he really did want to love Jesus. And I think all of us want to love Jesus more than we love these, more than we love our job, or anyone else for that matter. The Bible says in Luke 16, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." That's in Luke 16, verses 10 to 15. So I'd like to look at that just a little bit. As we look at our job, we might sometimes think that our job is just such a little thing. And we wonder, you know, this is looking at it from a little different angle now. Sometimes we might think, well, I wish God would use me for something big in life. But I think this scripture is telling us to be faithful in our job, in the little things. To go to work every day, to be sensitive and open to God's Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and to do our work as unto the Lord and not unto men. It says in Colossians 3, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So as we go to our job, doing it as unto the Lord, not unto men, serving Christ, being faithful in those little things, and then maybe God has a big work for you. I believe he does. As we are faithful in the little things, God has a big work for us. But most of all, I'd like to close with Matthew 6, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's where Jesus said in that scripture that God knows we have need of these things. A little previous to that, he said that. You know, and he talks about God clothing the flowers, the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow's cast into the oven. And he says, "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So let's remember that as we look at our job versus the life work that God has for us. God is faithful. God knows that we need food to eat, clothes to wear, a roof over our heads, a vehicle to drive. God knows all that. And when we seek him first and we give everything we have to him, he says, "I'll add all these things to you. I will bless you in that." And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel when I say that. But to know that even if God says, give your last dollar to the homeless man in town on the street, that he is able to pay your utility bill next month, even when you don't have it. So if God is asking us to live that way, then let's live that way. But whatever it is, as this scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What is your life work? Do we believe that God has a calling for us, a purpose for us, a big something for us to do? Believe that. He does. We are all special in his sight. We are all created for a purpose, for a reason. None of us are an accident. We are all created for a reason, for a purpose that God has for us. Let's seek his will. Whatever that is, walk in that. Whatever he says, let's do that, and God will be glorified. Let's kneel to pray.